children.
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
I delete so much shit. Mm-hmm. So much cancelable shit. Mm. Speaking of cancelable shit.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, good transition. There you go. All right.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, Anthony Fuentes.
What's up?
What's
that? That's me, yeah. I'm gin and tonic, so it's not as hype right now. I'm enjoying the classiness.
Yes. Ghost face mask.
Yeah.
Back by popular demand from season one.
Whoa. From season one.
Who could it be?
Who could it be?
Oh.
Adrian Sanchez.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Yeah, actually, a guest from one of our most listened to episodes on Eraserhead back in the day. When we dissected the Midnight Movie.
Yes.
All that time ago
in a completely different apartment on my living room floor because I didn't have a kitchen table.
The setup was entirely different.
I'm pretty sure our outlines were completely different.
So you're saying we had no standards. Yes. No standards.
Well, I was on the show, so.
Back by popular demand.
Yes.
Yeah. The popular demand being us.
Yeah,
two people.
Literally, yes. Do you know how many texts like I had to send? Like we've had to send you just to be like, come back.
How many texts? How many cocktails? How many nights out?
None of my smoke signals worked.
No.
Anthony sending messages by carrier pigeon.
Right. Like, what, intercepted again?
Damn it.
Goddamn ox.
Oh my god, I saw the car hit a bird on the freeway the other day, it was just like a plume of feathers, and I was like, holy shit!
Yes!
I was like mortified, and like this car didn't even swerve. Oh, no. Like, I was like, you monster.
No,
there a message attached to it to Adrian?
Right?
Yes.
Exactly. Oh my god, it goes on the windshield, and you're like, oh, uh-huh. God, well, shit, it's gonna fly away. To Adrian what?
To Adrian what? Alright, guys. We mentioned it last week. This week we are talking about Sleepaway Camp from 1983.
And why are we talking about it?
Because, welcome to May.
Yay!
It's a theme month because every single May we've had as a podcast, it's been a theme. Yeah. This in February.
Yes, February and May are always theme months.
Months. Mm-hmm. And this month we are doing, I think it's like camp horror?
Summer camp horror.
Okay. Summer camp horror, I think.
It's yes.
Like I'm not staring at it right now. summer Probably. Camp horror. We have some excellent choices. We also, as you know, if you look at the Fridays. We also have a little something coming up this month.
Yeah, it's a little long overdue.
Very long overdue. And a couple other summer camp-esque films to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Also right up top, my voice still isn't completely back, but it's not as bad as it was last week, which was a complete and total clusterfuck. Right? So thank you for bearing with me.
Enjoy it while you can, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, what a cluster. Anyway, per tradition, our esteemed guest is going to hit us with that IMDb synopsis.
So honored.
Real quick before you do, actually, there's something I want to mention up top. Oh, thank you to everyone who... We had one of our best months in April. We really did.
We did?
I personally would like to thank Mr. Mark Patton for sharing our podcast and putting us out there. He's the star of Nightmare on Elm Street 2,
yes.
Which we actually did a whole episode based on his life and his journey through Hollywood. So I just want to say thanks for the extra attention, and you killed it in the movie. And if we're going to have to keep doing movies like that, you know what? It's going to be every month. We're doing some franchise pick right there because that was fantastic. So
wow, I didn't know because I don't look at analytics anymore.
Yes, one of our best actually in a long time. So I appreciate it, fans. New listeners. Adrian's going to carry the rest of the show, so
there you go. So for those of you listening, Anthony, put his drink down and he leaned forward, and it was, he was about to, make an announcement that he was dying or something. Like, I was like, what is going on? He was just like, well, this is where I'm letting everyone know that I'm leaving the podcast. And I was like, what's going on?
I am replacing Anthony.
Like this, right? This is my new replacement. I'm going to jump off a bridge. I'm just picking the bridge.
Anthony, no!
Like, look.
You think I would let you do that? No. You really think I would let you do that?
She would tackle me right before I do it.
I would. Like,
so you could get. She would actually throw me off the bridge herself.
With my freakish superhuman strength? Yeah, absolutely.
In that moment, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to where I was before Anthony so rudely scared the shit out of me. Adrian. Oh.
Yes.
No. Let's talk about the IMDb, what IMDb had to say about
it. You
want to
talk about Sleepaway Camp?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Please, dear God.
Well, it's all downhill from here. All right. So IMDb starts with Angela Baker, a shy, traumatized young girl. So right off the bat, is sent to summer camp with her cousin. Shortly after her arrival, anyone with sinister or less than honorable intentions towards her gets their comeuppance.
IMDb, you actually had multiple sentences. What's going on?
They also used the word comeuppance.
I thought one of you wrote this because it was so like...
It was so not IMDb, yeah. Right?
Well, IMDb is normally garbage. So.
It is. They
There's like actual language used here. Right? Like,
and it gives you just enough so you can watch like the rest of the
movie. An actual English language, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, traumatized young girl might be, we'll see, we'll worry about that a little later on.
Listen, up until the last 15 seconds.
That's right, that's right. That's
traumatized right. Young girl.
Traumatized person. I know, I'm going to get into that. Canceling us right now.
Really?
I know.
We can continue.
Yes, definitely. Okay.
Directed by Robert Hiltzik, written by Robert Hiltzik, and produced by Jerry Silva and Michelle Tatosian?
Tatosian?
He was doing so good till that fucking wrench right there.
To be fair, it's a wrench.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It came out of nowhere.
I would not have been able to.
Yeah, have fun with the rest of all those right. Names.
Starring Mike Kellen.
Sure.
Jonathan Tiersten. I watched that video, so I know how to say it.
There you go.
Melissa Rose. Christopher Collett.
Paul
Dano.
I don't know.
Paul Dano.
No. Paul D'Angelo. Susan Glaze.
That is a porno name.
That's a porno name. It's a porn name. Yeah. I was totally going to say that. I was like, that is a porn name.
I knew
name.
He was going to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. The sultry Susan Glaze right there. Dude.
I'm really glad that we've
we're on the same page.
We here. All have the same page.
I like how the perverted comment, they're like, oh yeah, Fuente's going to do it.
Well, I was, okay, but if you hadn't, I was going to say it.
I know you would have.
The way I said it, too, I was like baiting one of you.
You're like, Susan
somebody.
Glaze.
Catherine Kami? Karen fucking Fields.
Oh, my God.
Catherine Kami. In the Reagan era, please.
No! The release date was November 18th, 1983.
Damn.
It had a budget of $350,000.
What?
And the box office was $11 million.
Holy shit, this is a lot
that
bigger
than insane,
hit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, somehow, some way.
I think word spread about this movie.
Yeah. I thought the budget was like $5,000. Like, I was like, I didn't.
It looks like it's $5,000.
It does, right? Okay.
Especially some of the acting choices.
Yes.
Goddamn.
Okay, but whatever. So, we're going to obviously learn about how this wonderful movie came to be. So, the filming of Sleepaway Camp took place in Argyle, New York, near Summit Lake at a camp formerly known as Camp Algonquin? Algonquin?
Algonquin.
Sure. All right. Wow, what is going on with this fucking movie? Anyways.
What's going on with your reading skills?
You know what? Coffee and gin and tonic. That's what's happening. So, in interviews, Robert Hiltzik has said that he attended that camp as a child. So the movie was filmed in 5 weeks, starting in September of 1982 and ending in October of that year on a budget of, again, very, very surprisingly, $350,000, which makes no fucking sense to me. All right. So the film is in part dedicated to Hiltzik's mom, who passed away prior to the film's production, and his financial inheritance from her death funded a good portion of the film. Oh,
man. The sentimentality, like, attached to this movie...
Yeah.
It's going to make it a little rough to like,
actually comment on the movie. Like, yeah, actually express our words.
I'm sorry.
He is very fond of this movie somehow, some way.
Yeah.
I could quite enjoy this one as well, but we'll talk about it. So, the film had been storyboarded, but after the first day of filming, the movie was already behind schedule, of course. So, the storyboards could not be used and were, of course, thrown out.
I'd really just imagine them throwing them, like, mm-hmm. into, like, a pile and just, like... Like, set him on fire.
It's like everybody attach it to a frisbee and just let it flame. Just
poof. They're like, we don't have any firewood. Burn the storyboard. Yeah, yeah. It's getting cold. It's fucking cold out here.
Yeah, speaking of
this
it
is,
being
this
cold.
This is too expensive to shoot anyways.
Yeah. It's the middle of, like, the end of summer, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. Speaking
oh, let's see.
Up,
yeah, let's
we'll get into that.
Because Sleepaway Camp was filmed during early fall, despite taking place during the summer, so production had to pull a reverse Halloween. Ooh, and listen to our episodes on that one. And paint the leaves and grass green to make the camp look the part. Holy shit. Really?
Yeah. So that's where I think $100,000 just went to keeping the grass green and the leaves green.
Oh. To defiling nature.
Yeah, right?
To just, like, putting so much, like their own hole in the ozone. Like, yeah, right. Just, like, just purely that.
Well, can't we just dip them in the bucket? What about the stems, huh? Did you think about that?
They must have, like, accidentally sprayed a squirrel at some point.
Had
oh, my
to.
God.
Had to.
The alien squirrel's part of the movie. It's fine. Let's go.
It's fine. Just like that guy with the fake mustache. Like, it's just, like, just...
Oh.
Fuck
my
it.
God.
It's fine.
Oh, that fucking, that super, like, glued on mustache.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, dude.
So, some of the campers getting off the buses at the beginning of the film are relatives of the cast and crew. Specifically, the family of Felisa Rose. The name Felisa is really nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Never come across that name.
Her mom was, like, also a little bit of, like, a helicopter parent. Mm. Well, I mean, or maybe just, like, a good parent in Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in the 80s, please.
Yeah. Well, because she was, like, really active on set and was, like, very vocal about what she could or couldn't do as mm-hmm. an actor, especially because she's 13 years
yeah.
old.
Yeah.
Well, she also, I think, because of filming laws, had to be there.
Exactly. And but I mean the attentiveness again. A lot of Hollywood parents would be like, "You do what you want, man. Just we're going to be famous, right?" Like
we're
that.
We're getting paid, right?
Yeah.
This mom's just like, "Hey, well, was that pinky nail getting a little long there? What's going on?" Sniffing a lot.
Well, yeah, I think there was like a scene where they wanted her to do something that was like really aggressive. It was like just like and like do some of the actual like killing scenes.
That's
and,
right.
And,
yeah.
and her mom was just like, I don't like the idea of that. So basically, they just had some more like it was part of like distracting from the actual like who the killer was.
And in some ways, I feel like that might have like even helped the movie because it creates that mystery of like who's the killer.
Who's
like,
the killer?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's always like off screen POV.
And like anytime you see the killer's arms or hands, it's always a man.
That's yeah, that too.
True.
I was
so,
like, those
see
hands
these, like,
look veiny.
Like, they're very
like,
muscular right? forearms. Like, I'm like, this isn't a 13-year-old's forearms.
You're like, boy, that is a lot of hair. Okay. A lot of hair.
Oh, please. Have you seen the thighs in this movie? Not nary a hair. Nary a hair.
Even the boy thighs. Dude.
Exactly. Even the men. Did
boy,
you see
bro,
those?
What shaving cream do you use, bro? It's fucking smooth.
Did you see those short shorts? I saw the short shorts.
Please.
Yes. I saw the short shorts.
How could you not see the short shorts? So, what's again, circling back, Felisa Rose was only 13 at the time, which is unusual, again, for a feature film because of the aforementioned laws. So, studios, again, usually cast actors at 18, and, of course, they usually look way younger. Yeah. And they're long-ass shoots, too. 18 hours for... Wow. That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm wondering, like, how many rules this production actually followed, though?
Oh...
I don't know. I doubt they limited themselves, but who's to say? Like a bit of a low-key production, especially considering that, what did I put in the outline? How long did it take for them to film this? 5 weeks?
5 weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
Probably pretty stringent on like what they had to shoot then, huh?
Well, I mean, that's why they did some really long shoots.
Yeah, that's a good point. 18 hours. 18 hours, baby.
Yeah.
And also, again, keep in mind that at 13, she was too young to see her own movie in theaters. So
how sad is that?
I know.
She's like, I'm the star, motherfucker.
Unless you were a Latino youth in which your parents would just let you watch the radio thing.
Oh,
because
my God,
that's
yes.
the babysitter yes. right there. That's the fucking babysitter.
We're going to go out. Put Chucky on.
Yes. Yes. Like, okay, cool. Mama's going to the club.
Because your parents are way cooler than mine.
Oh my god, my parents are way cooler than me? Are you kidding me?
I don't know. We had a pretty fun Saturday.
That's true. That's true. I'm just talking about generally, though. They're like, you know, they were the cool kids and they raised a fucking nerd.
My mom was like a total burnout.
Really?
My mom, like, she's, I don't mean that in an insulting way, no. But like, she was like, she was just like a total stoner in high school.
Like and hip.
Kind of. She was just more just kind of like an outcast. It was before it was like cool to be a stoner. But that's why she was like growing up, she would like beat the shit out of me, not literally. But like she was just like, "You're not smoking weed, are you?" And I was just like, "I'm the most innocent child that has ever lived, ever."
So again, meanwhile, my parents.
I'm like watching anime with my friends until 2 a.m.
No weed though, right? But it makes it better, Mom. I want to see Itachi fucking go Sharingan.
Exactly.
Right now.
I'm like, I'm just watching Naruto.
I said, meanwhile, my parents were, like, club people and, like, you know, like, they were so cool. I was just like, can I just play the Nintendo Switch? Like, you're going to go outside.
Like, where did we go wrong with him?
I know, right? Jesus.
You're, like, the most reverse black sheep of your family I've ever seen.
It's so crazy, isn't it? It's just...
It's like, awesome. When I explain to people that your form of rebellion is not getting tattoos, I'm like, okay. Yeah,
literally the only one. The only one. Anyways. Oh, boy. And then, of course, when cast... Oh, Jonathan Tiersen was given the role of Ricky after an unusual audition in which Robert Hilsick asked Jonathan to curse him out. Guess he did a pretty good job. Yeah.
The mouth on that kid is, like, insane.
Oh,
like,
dude, yeah. Rapid fire.
He curses like a full-grown adult.
And, like, with anger, like...
Yeah. He's like, come down and say that to my face, you stupid bitch!
Son, where did you learn how to say that kind of stuff? Oh, that's my dad.
Well, these kids are also from, like, New York, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the New York, New Jersey area.
Yeah, exactly. And they have, like, these really thick, like, New York accents.
And they come, so that means they come out of the womb knowing how to curse.
Like, hey, you want to fucking suck a dick or something?
What are you gonna do? Suck my dick about it?
Suck my dick? Oh, yeah, what if he... Jeez, that could go a lot worse. Okay, so, when casting for the role of Angela, Hilsick would have the actresses stare wide-eyed and straight ahead while also pretending to eat a candy bar. He picked the right person.
She has, like, the dead-eyed look.
She has
so,
the stare, yes.
Back to the curse thing. It's the header for the plot later, but the exchange of,
I know exactly what you're gonna say.
Eat shit and die, Ricky.
Yes.
And then Ricky's just like, eat shit and live, Billy.
Oh, that's such
it's
a good
so
line.
It's so fucking funny. Like, I feel the need to like incorporate eat shit and live like in like my regular cursing
I'm waiting
vernacular.
For the perfect moment in my life where I can like say that to somebody.
Like, just like, eat shit and live.
You're like,
that's so much worse. Like, now you're known as a shit eater. And you have to live with that.
I love how you live. Right? You're thinking about the social implications of just being known as a shit eater.
Of course.
I'm thinking of, like, the internal trauma of, like, dude, I don't, like, if you have that PTSD of, like, the shit just goes in your mouth, like, the taste a little bit. Like, no, you're in the candy bar, buddy. You're in the candy bar. It's okay. So, I love having guests because we just keep digging in.
Continue!
Felisa Rose and Jonathan Tiersten, that's right, or the sibling cousins, developed a romance during filming, but broke up soon after. He was 17 and she was 13 at the time, so they were really pushing the legal boundaries on that one quite a bit.
That's so bad.
It's like, listen, I'm 2 weeks away from statutory here. I think we got to call it.
Fun side stories. This happened twice. My parents have made me break up with someone in high school because they were like, this kid's turning 18. You need to stop.
Yeah, like, listen, we don't want to deal with the fallout here. Well, Loris, what's her name? Salahane?
I don't know.
Salahane.
It's actually a guy.
Okay, Laura Salahane, who was 19 at the time, said filming the skinny dipping scene was tough for a lot of reasons. A lot of naked dudes. For one thing, the production schedule was pushed farther back into the fall. So when they filmed at 1 a.m., it was fucking cold. It was pretty fucking cold. Also, he agreed to do the nudity, the scene required, of course, but he was a shy feller.
Aww.
Uh-huh. They only showed their butts on camera. But he and other guys still had to be totally naked.
And it makes for one of the weirdest scenes in the movie.
It gets worse.
Right? And of course, to make matters worse, as Alex alluded to, it was supposed to be a closed set, but someone forgot to tell the locals who had set up picnic baskets and lawn chairs along the lake to watch the action.
No. I just need to, like, at 1 a.m.
Dude.
Just, like, a bunch of... I'm going to imagine 16-year-old girls.
Like, yeah, hopefully. Not like some country ass, like, hey, bro, you want to see some young fellas, dude?
Country folk from the nearby town gathered around the lake. We're like, let's go watch the movie.
Well, when you said that they, like, gathered, like, it's like, oh, they're filming, like, a skinny dipping scene. Then you just imagine, like, a gaggle of girls just being like, naked boys,
But what if they didn't know the gender, so they were just like, oh, bro, we're going to go see a skinny dipping scene. Like, is that... a bunch of little dudes? Oh, shit.
Do they know?
Oh, no.
We're already buzzed, man. Just write it out.
Do they know about shrinkage, though?
Super cold water.
It's
1 a.m. It's super cold. Ball is like rolling in.
I don't know how to explain it. Like, bro, my schlong's bitten those guys out there like that. Dude, it's cold right now. Show me your schlong. I'll show you right now. Look at it.
I like that we are immediately just, like, disparaging the, like, idiot locals.
That's right.
So. And this kid was, like, traumatized by this experience.
I know.
So. It's like, is that fucking binoculars? Come on, man.
I know it's cold, but, like, really?
Like, barbecuing out there. Like.
There's a campfire. They're roasting marshmallows. Roasting hot dogs if you want to get really phallic about it.
They're like, he's just bite it once.
I've seen Not Another Teen Movie.
You're destroying him right now. That's great.
I saw that movie with my family.
Explain, Sanchez. Explain.
No, it's like you were saying, my parents did not give a shit we watched.
Yes. So you went to go see
So we're like, this looks like a funny comedy. Like, let's go watch.
Yes, that's, again.
And we fucking sat through the entirety
Was it the
of
most uncomfortable silence of your life?
No, because it was actually pretty funny.
Okay, listen to our scary movie episode where me and James display the same exact experience happened.
All of those movies, yes, yeah. We saw as a family. Like.
Scary Movie isn't as bad as Not Another Teen Movie.
That's
though.
Right.
Not Another
well,
Teen.
Not, yeah, nowhere close.
But. Either way, a surprising amount of dicks. You know, just that you're not always prepared for a dick with your Tia's right there. Like that's just you have to.
Yeah, but if your Tia's laughing, then you're just like. Why are you laughing?
Sure, no. She definitely laughed and then turned over. Was like, oh, me, oh, no.
She's like, oh.
Yours doesn't look like that, right? I'm like, no, it's a baby dick. It's fine.
Not the baby dick.
Jesus. We gotta isolate that for the opening right now. Not the baby dick.
It's gonna be on a soundboard.
Soundboard.
Honestly, oddly applicable for this podcast.
Definitely.
Because they're
we've had a surprising amount of dicks this season, so there we go. So
that's because last season, lots of tits.
That's true, we had to accommodate for it. And then again, the season before that, lots of child death. So, you know, it just...
Child death! We got the whole spectrum covered. Child death, tits, dicks.
That's
done.
That's right. Let's see what season 5 has to offer. So
nothing good.
Hella hate.
Oh. No, that's when we do rape month.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
We made a joke a couple episodes ago about doing like nothing but rape revenge films for a month, and I was like, I could not handle that.
No, that would be
so intense.
Not handle that. Like I would need to be very drunk for an entire month.
It was a very dark joke. Yes.
You made it.
That's true.
You made the joke.
I cringe at my own just like, let's just like watch Irreversible 4 times. Yes, let's go.
Yeah, let's just watch The Last House on the Left and I spit on your grave.
He thought about it and he was like, this is okay to say. I'll make
this
joke.
This is an okay thing to say.
It'll get some laughs.
Right?
It'd get a laugh out of me. I don't know anyone who listened. It was just like way into it.
Best month on record last year. Just saying. So, Salahade said the sight of a bunch of naked guys bouncing into the freezing water set them into, quote-unquote, some rather questionable behavior.
Ah, yes. The frat boy mentality.
Oh, my God. Is that your dick, bros? Is that what's going on? So,
I don't have a boner.
That's right. Freezing cold water.
I don't have a boner.
No one has a boner.
Right? It got so bad, he ended up walking off set until the director finally coaxed him back. But he told the director that he would only film the scene where he groped himself at the girls for running off after the guys came out of the lake and could wear underwear. Originally, he had agreed to do it naked. And, of course, the director acquiesced.
There's a lot to unpack there. Like, yeah. It's just like, yeah. Oh, you poor dude. Like, I'm like, why is everyone naked? Like, normally, like, I'm like, okay, we've progressed in Hollywood. Where it's yes. like, you don't actually have to be naked.
But, I mean, some of the things that these kids were asked to do for the movie, like.
Yeah.
Oh, good sentence, Adrian. Kids. These are children.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the children part. Because a lot of them were children.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be fair, but like a lot of them were like 17. So, you know, but I mean, freaking, what's her face? She's 13.
And not like professional actors.
No.
Like, so these kids are totally fresh.
Jesus, Adrian.
What is this show?
I'm isolating.
They're
all baldies.
I'm isolating that. For context, like, my brother is 18, right? Like, I'm like, oh my god, he would never do this. Like, I cannot imagine, like, finding, like, a group of, like, willing 17... Well, actually, no.
1983.
No, I was thinking about... I'm like, when I was in high school, no. Because I was friends with, like, a lot of people on, like, the football team. Like, I think a lot of them would have, like, been like, fuck yeah!
I grew up in the Inland Empire, right? They were always a decade behind everybody. We were 1983 for sure. So, the climactic scene was accomplished using a nude man wearing a mask cast from Felisa Rose's face. The thin man who stood in for Angela was a college student who needed to get drunk before he was able to do the scene. Nobody knew who the man was. Decades later, he is still unknown. And by the way, he got so drunk, he like cried about doing the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this was traumatizing. That was in the Dead Meat thing.
I did see that.
I'm not going to hold that against him, but also just the idea of this man living with the knowledge that he's like the naked man. Or the naked person in sleepaway camp.
Yeah.
What's it like to have that much power and like knowledge? Like, all the cast members know who this guy is.
Yeah.
And they've kept his secret.
Yeah. Oh, every time he disrobes and has, like, about to get laid, he has the same shocked look on his face as the man.
No!
Oh! Are you good, dude? Are you good, dude? It's just, I can only get hard this way. It's okay.
It's like, turn around.
Okay, I'm good. You're about to get your world rocked. So.
I might have slept with this man.
I know. You're like, wait a second. All that's familiar.
Wait a second. I'm kidding.
So, it's like, all the people in the arsenal, don't think about it.
No, seriously, though. Like, he's lived his entire life, like, just, like, with this knowledge, and he's just chosen to remain anonymous.
That's why I'm, like, thinking, how does he feel about it? Like, is he ashamed, or is he, like, getting off on the path?
I know!
Any person who has to get shit-faced to do this, I think is probably dealing with a fair bit of shame for
the
experience.
That's true, he did cry about it, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was crying about it, and had to be coerced by the director. Which, by the way, another, like, I'm like... He was crying, man. And still was just like, slapped his ass and was like, get out there.
He's like, listen, all these fucking other kids over here did this thing, dicks out. So, you're going to be a little bitch about it.
But, okay. I think, because the video that we watched also brought up a great point where they were just like, oh, well, like, can you imagine just like being naked wearing the face of a child?
That's true.
That's the weird part.
That is.
Like, being, like, filmed and being, like, locked in like, eternity as just, like, your naked body with a child's face attached to it.
Available, in high def now. Like.
Right. Would you do it?
No.
Exactly. Would you do it?
But this guy was in college, though.
Would
you have done it?
No.
Okay, would you?
No, I still wouldn't.
I like the idea in my mind. This is like, he's like literal last day of filming. Like, dude, if you don't do the dick thing, the rap party's not going to happen. So we need you to fucking. Like, it's the last scene. And then they do the little break. Everybody, that's the fucking movie. Let's go. Woo! He's just crying. Just like, let's just get
I like
the dressing room.
I like that in this world, if in your head, films are filmed in order.
I know, right? That's what I was thinking too.
We're gonna film the last scene of the movie at the end.
Then the rap party, just dude, you can't keep everyone's get turned right now.
All the kids want to get drunk.
All the kids want to get drunk. Oh, that's great. So for the hive death scene, a dummy was made of Billy and a sugar mixture was applied to the face to draw the bees to it.
Would have been cooler if it was actually Billy, but whatever. I'm kidding.
Still really good, though. I actually liked that. Very cool. I like that effect. I thought it was pretty effective.
Yeah.
And I know you have a fear of bees, too.
Oh, you know, I have a
ton. I don't, but even that scene, like,
I totally stand up and, like, walk away and pace. Like, Adrian has seen probably the worst of it.
You even say, like, hey, there's something, like,
remember the butterflies?
You, like, immediately jump.
Yeah. Bees freak me out. They do.
So, just bees?
I got stung when I was really young, and it was painful as fuck.
So
it's one of those things that kind of stayed with me.
Did I tell you the story of the one time in my entire life I've been stung by a bee?
No, please.
It wasn't even alive.
Oh, my God. That
happened
to me, too.
You have told me.
I was at church, and, like, I was going up a staircase, and it was a wooden staircase, and there was, like, a spider had gotten to a bee and, like, wrapped it up or whatever. And I, like, was going up a staircase, and, like, I was talking to someone, and, like, I was kind of absentmindedly paying attention and, like, dragging my hand up the banister, and I felt something, and I thought it was a leaf, so I rolled it in my fingers, and it was a bee, and I stung my thumb, and that's the one and only time I've been stung by a bee.
Oh my God.
I was pissed. I was so pissed.
Must have been, like, so fucking, like, proud.
In the bee afterlife?
Yeah.
I fucking got her.
Fuck you, bitch.
No, that happened to me, too. I was swimming in a pool.
Oh.
And there was a dead bee, like, brushed my shoulder. And it was just enough to fucking...
to sting you.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Okay, so no, mine was... well, one of the earliest ones I remember. Like, I remember as a kid hanging out with my theas and theos at a fucking family party for, like, a kid where everybody's turned. And, like, I remember I was by the flowers, which was dumb. And I was getting something out of the cooler, and I was digging deep in. Like, you know, you're digging deep in, your hand's fucking cold. So the other one's, like out, like, creating leverage.
Sure.
And then I remember... I felt something, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. And I'm like, that hurts. And I look over, and it's not just, like, that it's a bee stinging me. This bitch is doing, like, a fucking counterclockwise circle and digging his fucking thing right into... it was so painful, and I saw him fly off, and that the barb stayed, and he just fucking zzz and fucking died.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Theo, get out, like, crying and shit.
How old were you?
I was probably, like, five or six. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
you were traumatized.
It was so horrifying.
All these drunk adults trying to, like, help you.
I'm patting me on the shoulder, and she's like, I got stung by a bee, send me to the kitchen. Give me the shot, bro.
Jesus. Damn.
Oh, boy. Childhood in Santa Ana. So.
You know what's fucked up? Because I still had to stay at church.
Like, what the?
Yeah.
She's not swollen up, is she? That's all right.
Yeah, they were just like,
she's still swollen up.
Jesus.
You have the Lord on your side.
Yeah.
They were like,
this bee ain't got shit on you.
This is a divine bee. This was meant to happen.
Right, like, that was just, I had, like, my thumb was just, like, fucking pulsing, and they were like, you can make it through youth group. And I was just like, fuck you guys. I got stung by a bee. I don't want to be here.
I don't want to be here. I don't want a bee here.
And that's why I don't believe... No, I'm kidding. Because I got stung by a bee. No,
destroyed my faith.
That's it. That one fucking bee.
No, that happened many years later. I was like 10.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I was like 10, yeah.
Oh, my God. Well,
anyway, I didn't know you were scared of bees, though. Are you scared of, like, God, any other flying things? Like,
just bees? Well, bees and wasps. Because there was also
wasps are assholes. I don't blame you for that.
Yeah, we also had a wasp nest in the first place we moved to in the Inland Empire. It was just right in our front door. My dad was like, it just keeps coming back.
It just keeps coming back.
They like this fucking porch. What the fuck's going on?
The dead won't stay dead.
Yes.
How do you feel about bee Pokemon? Like, bee drill?
Oh, I never use bee drill. Never use bee drill. Never.
Wow.
No, so it doesn't go that far.
It's only because his stats are terrible.
Okay. That's why he doesn't like this tattoo.
Oh, sounds like lames.
No, my bee tattoo.
Oh, that's a good tattoo.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I like Banjo-Kazooie. They got honeycombs, you know? There's all kinds of good stuff there. Yeah, we're good.
I'm kidding. But no, I actually... the special effects for this is very cool. It didn't make it into the outline, but the vat of soup...
Yes.
That special effects was really cool because they did like a latex and like sugar thing.
Yeah, it was like a little gelatin kind of stuff.
It was a gelatin thing with like air pumped under it to give it like that blistery effect.
When the chef gets scalded, right?
Yeah. And it's something where I'm just like, I could probably do something like that.
It would be really fun.
Like, I think it would be something to like just for like a Halloween costume.
Or scare the kids at the pool when they're too loud.
Or just scare the shit out of them. Yeah. Like just like stumble out and just be like, oh my face!
Oh, see what screaming sounds like?
Shut the fuck up!
It hangs on that scene for so long, like,
so,
and his screams are like,
I'm guttural,
there's
dude.
Agony.
Maybe
like,
getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but we watched this movie after a lengthy night out at Anthony's place, and I remember watching it, and that scene where it lingers on this guy's face, and like, I remember all of us just being like, dear God, we get it!
Yeah, right?
And it's pretty early in the film, too.
It sets a precedent for sure.
Yeah,
definitely. And of course, again, my last fact here is a shot of dead Judy was cut by the MPAA for being just a little bit too grisly. So once again, as we say all the time when this happens, thanks MPAA, and
fuckers.
Go fuck yourself. That's right. She knows.
Fuckers.
She knows. See?
Assholes.
Developed a lot of these facts over the years, yes.
It's true.
Alex ain't gonna die.
Yeah.
To risk every time I buy clubs, I will just hand her drinks and
I was like
what? Mango.
I was about to make a really, really like dark joke. I was like, despite my best efforts.
She can't die.
That's great. All right, Sanchez. It's your turn, buddy. Let's fucking go.
All right. Do you want to learn about the release and reception?
I would totally love to. See,
all
with
right,
claws
in
hand,
in.
Baby. Let's go.
Yes, all right. Yes.
So Sleepaway Camp opened in 85 theaters in New York City. On November 18th, 1983.
Damn.
That is a lot of theaters.
For New York City?
Yeah. What is there, like one every block? Like
you've been to New York City.
I didn't see that many theaters. So where are they screening this movie?
Like, Brooklyn.
The one place with
the Midnight
theaters.
Circuit. Yeah, like, right? The sleazy, like dirty movie theaters. Like,
yeah, they used all the adult theaters. That's great.
It's all they could get, but... According to the American Film Institute, it had its premiere in Los Angeles the following spring on May 25th, 1984.
Mm. It was like a delayed thing?
I guess.
So we were pre-Sleepaway Camp and the East Coast was like, they knew.
Yeah, yes. I guess. Yeah.
They were the beta fucking test right there. Yeah. Like, okay, people are comfortable with child dicks. Good.
Good. Send it to the West Coast quick.
Excuse me, it was a college dick.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Perceived child dick.
The August 1984 Box Review reported that the first week box office gross at 15 Los Angeles, California theaters was $90,000.
Oh, look at them.
So, that's not great.
Yeah, I'm like, that doesn't sound good.
You're like, I don't know how you want me to spin this. But
I'd be
this...
a little bit concerned.
Well, it was 1984. It had been out already for
you know they bootlegged it in New York.
In 1983?
It was probably sold on the streets.
Yeah.
In 1983?
That's the print that we saw on fucking, what was it? Like Tubi?
Pluto TV.
Pluto TV?
Yeah, was it Tubi? Or
yeah.
Which,
Pluto,
I mean, like
whatever.
You said, it enhanced the experience watching it on such a shitty quality.
It was so VHS.
It was such a shitty quality.
So VHS.
It was like a bootleg copy.
Cut with like high quality, like... Try the new McDonald's.
Yes.
Like,
that's what made it perfect. It's like the cold cuts to like commercial breaks.
Okay, and somebody's obviously a fan of this movie because those cuts were at the perfect time slots every time. I'm just like, wow. Okay, right after the
Try the new McDonald's, spicy chicken nuggets.
New soup options.
Crest strips for da 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 da. Like it was Crest and McDonald's. Those are the two ones that I remember distinctly. I'm like, your advertising got me, you bitches.
Oh boy.
Well, despite its semi-rocky beginnings, Scream Factory released the film in a collector's edition Blu-ray set on May 27th, 2014. This release contains a 2K scan of the original camera negative. And this release also has the film in its original uncut version.
Oh, shit.
Talking about the dick.
I
know, that's exactly what everyone's like.
Thank you.
We actually had two college bros. One was circumcised, one was uncircumcised. The uncircumcised.
We used the uncut.
Test. Yes.
That was the intended ending for the movie.
He's uncut. I'm really glad we all were just like...
We said the word dicks enough, I think, you know?
Gotta make a dick joke.
We're just all on the same fucked up
wavelength. Right, gotta make a dick joke. Also, why does this taste like basil?
I don't know, but it's good.
Does this taste like basil to you?
Yuzu, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It has a basil, like it...
It has like a hint. Like a little herbally hint.
Oh, yeah.
It tastes like
that
basil.
That is good, though.
It is good.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. No, I like... That's one of my favorite of the new claws, for sure.
This is shit.
This one's not that bad either, man. We were killing it. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Way to go, White Claw. Da, 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 I don't sponsor this podcast, but still, you know?
No, sponsor the podcast.
I said they don't, but they could.
Oh, White Claw, sponsor the podcast. Are you serious?
No, we're only talking about dicks and dead kids. And...
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they sponsor?
It really depends on their circumcision policy, really. I think that's what's going to determine the, you know, money flow. Oh, boy.
Well, on release, the film was frequently compared to Friday the 13th due to their shared settings and whodunit plot structure.
Ooh.
I mean, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's very fair.
And they both are pretty cheap looking, too, so yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They're pretty fucking cheap looking.
Shot at like a rundown campsite.
Oh, man.
A review in the Courier Journal characterized the film as a low-budget slasher in the Friday the 13th mold with teenage mayhem at a summer camp.
That's the IMDb synopsis. That's the one how it usually is.
Yeah.
Ours was just like...
No, the writer for this movie was just awake at the wheel for that one.
Right?
As opposed to their usual staunchly asleep.
Teenage mayhem, though, makes it sound like the things that happen in this are normal, like teenage...
Yeah.
Just usual teenage hijinks. You know, where you
remember
prank...
when your friend was decapitated at summer camp?
I was thinking more like when you prank your friend and you make them, like, run their face into someone else's ass. Like...
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff.
Or when you have a water balloon fight on a rooftop.
What could go wrong? That sounds pretty normal.
I've never seen...
And the roof part was a little extreme, but like, come on. Who hasn't had a water balloon in a weird location?
Okay,
That's true.
Especially throwing it at people,
especially
like, not involved
at the summer,
in water.
Yeah. Like...
This is pre-Super Circle era, you know, so...
I had a water balloon fight at my high school.
Oh, I had... A badass super
like,
soaker, so I went in.
Oh.
I was like, all you water balloon fuckers. Do you want to die?
That's because you're weak.
Yeah,
and
right?
You couldn't throw.
No, I couldn't throw. That's a very good...
And
I'm
you
like,
had a handicap.
I did, like, listen, like, the amount of... 7 pumps, that's it, and we're good. Oh, Jesus.
Well, in the Chula Vista Star News, the film was deemed a tasteless picture about mysterious murders at a summer youth camp that obscenely blends beheadings, stabbings, pubescent impulses, homosexuality, transvestism, with a cast of junior high school actors.
Oh my god.
That's technically the movie!
He's not wrong.
Yeah, to me, that's selling the movie so much. I'm like, oh cool, I want to see how all that was put into one fucking movie. That'd be great.
Right? If somebody gave you a list of these things and like, make a movie out of this.
I mean, you know this dude was old. It's like, and transvestism.
Well, yeah, because it was the 80s, so they were just like, can't have none of those gosh darn transvestites. No, this is Chula Vista. This is Chula Vista. This is fucking San Diego.
This is your fucking stopping ground.
Right?
Okay, it's inland, okay? I don't claim
on that. Oh, yeah, trust me. Inland.
We don't talk about them.
Well, it's the same way that people call Fontana, Fontucky.
Yep, that's true. Oh, man.
So
Fontucky, Jesus.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So...
She got the IE in me right there. I know that. I know that terminology. I almost said it to a girl I thought was pretty, and she's like, I'm from Fontana. I'm like, you're from there.
Wow, from Fontana!
Yeah. But she did correct. I know they call it Fontucky. Oh, thank God.
She knows.
You're, like, you're self-aware. Thank God.
All right. We're on the review aggregator website, Rotten Tomatoes. Sleepaway Camp holds a 78% approval rating based on 23 reviews.
Oh, ballin'.
With an average rating of 6.4 out of 10.
I feel like everything's 6.4 out of 10. Jesus.
It's pretty, you know.
23 reviews, too.
Mm-hmm.
So only 23 people felt compelled to...
only 23... I think you have to be, like, authorized to write a review for Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh. Something like that.
You have to be, like, an authorized critic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm putting critics in air quotes for those at home.
Well, the consensus reads... Sleepaway Camp is a standard teen slasher, elevated by occasional moments of John Waters-esque weirdness and a twisted ending.
I think comparing this to John Waters is a disservice to John Waters.
I mean, John Waters is fucking weird.
Like, I love John Waters.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, it's like that weird.
It is that weird, but I think it's a disservice to John Waters. Right.
It doesn't seem like an accurate comparison.
Well, no. I think if you want to say, like, the aunt belongs in a John Waters film. That I believe.
Yeah.
That I will argue. But
her,
like,
acting choices are, like, so, like,
oh my God.
It's so, like,
exaggerated.
So removed from the rest of the film.
Yeah.
Versus, like, the rest of the movie. I'm not going to say this takes place in Hairspray. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's the only character like that too, which
exactly.
is the bizarre.
That's the weird
part.
Thing. If like all the adults in the movie acted like that, would have been fucking awesome.
No. That's true. Honestly, it's also a little Lynchian to me.
It is,
right?
I would say more Lynchian than Watersy.
Yeah, because it's weird. Because you get this 80s ass slasher with these like David Lynch fucking scenes just cut in between. And the dreamy as fuck. It's weird.
Right.
It's so weird.
Yeah, because Aunt Martha has like, I don't know if it's the way the lighting fell on her makeup, but
it's like, oh, you look so pretty, darling.
It's very
like
pale.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
Well, she also, like, the way she gestures, it's very like, tell anyone, like, you guys aren't, this isn't
like a vaudeville
medium.
Actress.
Like, yeah. Like, her arms, she's very flowy, and, like, you know, she's
and
just,
she talks to herself.
She talks to herself, and she gestures with her hands. I'm gesturing wildly
the
right
way
now,
she enunciates her lines are very bizarre.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all adds to the disturbing element of
the
movie.
I agree.
It's eerie, yes.
The website Bloody Disgusting gave the film a positive review, praising Felissa Rose's performance and the film's twist ending, calling it one of the most shocking scenes since, possibly, Hitchcock's Psycho.
Possibly. Heavy emphasis on the possibly.
I mean, dude, this guy's getting fucking John Waters and Hitchcock and like all this, like Friday 13th. It's just like, there's a lot of influences going on right now.
I think it's a lot. I think, you know what? I'll save my thoughts. I'm going to save what I think until later.
All right, let's go.
All right. Over the years, the film has gained a cult following from fans of the slasher genre.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony, Alex.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll talk about that whole history, too. Yep.
I'm more waiting for you to pronounce this next name.
And garnered critical reappraisal. Film scholar.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Get it, Sanchez.
Bart Lomish Paslik.
Damn, he actually did a good job.
Yeah, it's
called the film an exceptionally bad movie, but a very good slasher. And you know what? I agree with this guy.
Yeah, yes. That's a good.
Even though I butchered his name.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be, like, probably a Polish version of Bartholomew.
Yeah, it does sound Polish.
So, Bartholomew or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, Pazlik. Yeah.
A lot of letters that don't belong together.
It's Polish. That's Polish,
yes.
In a nutshell.
Well, commenting on the film's performances in the film, film scholar Thomas Sipos wrote, "The film feels odd due to its contrasting acting styles," which we just talked about.
Yes.
"Most of the cast performs in a naturalistic manner, whereas Desiree Gold's performance as Aunt Martha is strikingly stylistic." I guess that's one way to describe it.
Yeah.
"Broadly overplayed to the point of caricature."
I'd say broadly overplayed is a great way to describe her acting in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's perfect. On Letterboxd, Sleepaway Camp has an average 3.3 rating out of 43,000 reviews.
Pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Cliff with 3.5 stars. "The most disturbing image in this movie isn't that final shot. It's the fact that Meg seems genuinely into the idea of shagging that rancid old camp owner."
Oh my God.
Yes. Can we talk about this?
No, please.
That was fucking, I was like, wait, what?
It's
she wants
disturbing,
this?
Yes, and it's not.
She's just like, "I'll see you later."
If it was like set up, not that that would make it right, but at least there would be some precedent.
At least
for,
make the guy like less old and.
But
creepy.
It's like, why is she interested in him? What?
But
what?
He acts
is
so
happening?
Weird.
He's so weird.
He is like a weird, like, I mean, have you guys seen what was the movie, the fucking with Leo DiCaprio and what do you call? Fuck. I forgot what it was. The one with the asteroid coming over.
Don't Look Up?
Oh. Don't Look Up. There's a character in there that is like an older guy that has the exact same tone of voice as this guy. I'm like, how the fuck is anybody going to like... fuck this person.
Well, this guy, he also has a really thick New York accent or some kind of like New York Italian accent.
But it's like a weirdly passive one too. Like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
But he also looks like a total sleazebag.
Mm-hmm. Well, also he runs around the entire thing where he's just like, nah, nah, nah. We can't let anyone know there's murders happening.
And he's like smoking a cigar.
we can't let people know that people are dying.
He looks like he owns like a chain of like porn theaters.
He does. Like, that's a good descriptor.
Why is he running a summer camp for children? Mm-hmm. Like, it calls into question so many things because I was like, is this like a money laundering scheme?
Like, what do you do? What do you do? I'm scouting talent over here, all right? That's what I'm doing.
No!
Is he like,
all the camp counselors just, it's like the camp counselor to like porn,
right?
Pipeline.
Is this camp connected to the mafia? Like,
you want a 50 cent raise, lady?
Yeah, that's probably why she wanted to fuck him.
Yeah. Oh my god, it was so good, but she's so young looking comparatively. It creeps me the fuck out.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't know. I didn't write the movie.
That's true.
And Meg herself is quite a character, too.
Mm-hmm.
When we get her introduction, she's like, my name's Meg. M-E-G. Like,
Meg. Like,
is there any other way to spell Meg?
Like, I mean...
No, now I'm challenged. Like, now I'm
M-H-E...
Like...
Some of the deliveries are like borderline like house. Or like house soup. Like, it has that kind of vibe right there a little bit.
There are some moments where I'm like, oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Definitely. Todd Gaines with 2.5 stars. The Crying Game meets Friday the 13th, meets Degrassi Junior High, meets Meatballs, meets 80s Fashion Nightmare, meets What the Fuck Did I Just Watch?
Todd, all right.
Which is, I think, like the reaction we all had after we saw it.
Yeah. I think I wrote a paper in college about The Crying Game.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, again... Women's studies.
That's right. I mean, that's a pretty fundamental movie,
women's
I would say.
Women's studies. Film was my shit. So naturally, I was just like, Crying.
It all led up to this moment.
Oh my God. Speaking of The Crying Game, I remember my dad being like, you should watch this movie. And I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And then I sat down with him and he was just like, do you call it? Like, he's like, aren't you surprised? And I was just like, yeah, I called it within the first 5 minutes of the movie, you fucking dipshit.
Okay, on that note, actually, I remember, because I grew up in the 90s as a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my parents loved stand-up comedy. And I think when that movie came out, there was like a solid 6 months of like comedians making Crying Game jokes.
Dude, I still hear Crying Game jokes. And right? I'm like, oh my God, we get it.
But in the 90s vernacular, it is fucking weird, like a fucking dude. Like, it was like that kind of like Andrew Dice Clay delivery of all these. It was so weird.
It was a different era of comedy.
It was like Def Jam. Yeah. Like,
Def Jam, they did it for like 4 episodes. We're just like, this was like The Crying Game. Like that was the kind of tone. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, every now and again, I'll hear a Crying Game joke, and I was just like, yes, yes, thank you. Ah, ha, ha. She's trans.
Haven't heard that one before.
So funny. You are like, oh, my God, you're so fucking funny. Oh, my God.
She's like not even a person, I know.
She'd be a comedian.
Oh, my God, he threw up. Oh, my God, so funny.
Oh, boy.
Anyway. Interesting movie.
Let's not forget about Tony with 5 stars.
Oh, 5!
Kind of felt like I was having a stroke watching this, and I loved it.
That was great.
Actually, I included that one because that's how I felt.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm so glad we all watched it together just for that particular feeling.
And Mel, the camp owner, the way, like, I can't get over his accent. I don't know why. The way he reads his dialogue, like, it sounds like he's having a stroke. Like,
yes.
Reading his lines.
No, some of this stuff, like, it's, like, super, like, it's, like, it all blends into, like, one word.
It does.
I'm like, what are you saying?
Because when he discovers Meg, he says something that's unintelligible to the human ear. I don't think closed captioning can, like, decipher what he said.
I think that's also mentioned in the Dead Meat video.
Yes.
It's just, like... What did he say?
Oh, yeah. The subtitle was like, there's just nothing there.
He's just so distraught that his child bride is dead.
His child bride. Oh, fuck, his child bride.
She's a camp counselor, so she must be, like, what, 16, 17,
right?
I mean, I was a camp counselor. I mean, I was in college when I was a camp counselor, but I was definitely still pretty young. I was like 20. Exactly. Yeah, I was like 21.
Well, to the kids, you might as well have been like 45. They're just like, oh, they're fucking, oh, yeah, exactly. Alex flipped me off, by the way. Adrian, continue.
I was practically dead.
Anna Kendrick Lamar.
That's a good username. That's a good username.
I love that name. She comes in with 4.5 stars, describing you as transgressive.
Oh, all right. Anna
it's a
Kendrick
pun.
Lamar.
It's a pun.
That's good. That's good.
That's the only reason I included it, was because of her username. I was like, Anna Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, you gotta.
And finally, user Sun with 4 stars. LMAO, what the fuck did I just watch?
And 3 exclamation points.
All caps. And like 4 O's in LMAO.
Oh, that's great. Yes. That's great. Yes.
I think those comments perfectly captured all the feelings.
There's a lot in this movie. Oh. And so, because this is a great movie to talk about what the fuck just happened, let's talk about the plot of the movie, shall we?
We'll break it down? All right.
Ooh, actually.
How are we doing on time?
We're at an hour.
No, we gotta skip plot. Fuck. It's okay. No, this happens sometimes.
Oh, wow.
We're having too much fun.
Wow. Oh, my God. Sure?
Actually, I have an idea. So, if you guys want to hear the plot of this movie, maybe check out Patreon.
Ooh.
Because we can totally break it down and just put it on there later on.
Do you want to do that?
I'm down. But let's not record it right now. Let's record it later.
People need answers.
Yes. But again, we'll come back. But it's like, well, because we're running low on time here.
We're running short on time. We can't talk about the plot. I thought we were going to be... I usually, when I write these, I'm like, we're going to run too fast.
Yes. But we have Adrian Sanchez here. We're having too much goddamn fun.
Too much fun. He's coming in with jokes. You got jokes.
I know. The need to comment on a lot of things that happen in this movie. That's good. I can't just let it sit.
See, this is why we're not back after 3 fucking years.
Since season one.
But we'll go ahead and we're actually going to slap the trade-off on Patreon. So that'll be there for you guys if you'd like to, you know. Yeah. And you get to hear Adrian's voice once more.
You're welcome.
But yeah, definitely.
In the meantime, Alex has a little something special for us that you guys always look forward to.
Alex Theory Corner!
Let's fucking learn about the theory aspects of this film.
I mean, here's the thing.
She died right now.
We'll never get to the answers.
Yuzu!
There was pineapple in that. No. I'm kidding.
Oh, thank God. I was like, I keep risking her life for alcohol.
No, it's so funny because, like, you were the only person, like, even above me, who every time we go somewhere, like, you will, like, pull aside a waitress and you're like, she's allergic to pineapple and mango.
Fucking dare.
Don't you fucking think about it.
I want you to look at a pineapple when you go to that bar.
I know. Like, when you're making her a drink, I don't even want you to think about mango. Anyway. Alex's Theory Corner. Let's talk about this movie, because it's not like we haven't been doing that for the last hour already, but I put this after the plot because distinctly at the end, yada yada yada, TLDR, Angela as a character is a character who is... let's say complicated.
Complicated is a good summation, I would say, yes.
So, let's see. Let's yada yada through what we need to know. So, Angela is a character who, in the beginning of the movie, was a boy, and then was, after a tragic boat accident, was taken in by Aunt Martha, and was raised as a girl. Mm-hmm. So, back in the present, at the very end, we get this very shocking, that's why it's related to the Crying Game-esque reveal of Angela being the killer. And was turned into, you know, like, the killer.
Yes.
And it's shown, and it's, like, this, like, super shocking end of the film. And everyone, it's, like, actually kind of pretty iconic. Most people actually, even if they haven't seen the movie, have seen this, like, picture of Angela with, like, her, like she's, like, screaming. But
everything
she's not...
about it is disturbing. The facial expression, the music.
The music, oh, my God.
And
intense.
She's, like, growling.
Yeah.
Or some
so,
the very guttural, too.
Yeah, there's, like, a feral, it's... like...
I remember because I was falling asleep on your couch, watching the movie, waking up just in time for that, and was deeply disturbed.
Oh my god, me and Adrian were like super into it.
We were all knocked out, yep. Just like, good night.
Adrian like drinking like, holy shit, you see that?
As I take another drink.
Right. Like, I think it, like 15 minutes left in the movie, you were just like, I'm going to get another claw. And I'm like, you have to drive us home.
I needed it to process what I was experiencing.
Anyway, so, and it ends with, like, it's very shocking. And then, of course, it's literally a naked man, mm-hmm. like, with a mask of Angela's, like, or the actress that is Angela.
The college student.
The college student man with, like, a mask of her face. And it's just, it's very unsettling. Like, it's kind of Uncanny Valley-esque.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of, like, conflicting information that mm-hmm. your brain kind of gets.
And there's no movement in the
None.
The face. None.
Because it's a mask. So there's like, there's no animation.
But I mean, it's supposed to be her, right? Or Angela's character. And
so that's where it gets weird.
I think that's what trips up your brain about it, is like, why isn't there any movement in this face?
She's not even blinking. What
this frozen expression.
Yeah.
So this movie, naturally, even though it is a bit of a cult classic, even in LGBT communities, it's divisive.
I would bet, yeah.
And we're gonna get right into it. So, transgender writer Alice Collins of Bloody Disgusting states that Sleepaway Camp is, quote, steeped in queerness, especially when compared to its contemporaries. In its day, it took a deeper look into the subject matter than that of other films. So, it's as opposed to, like, in other slasher films where it's just, like, F-slur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 80s, yes.
80s, yeah.
The dark 80s. Dark ages.
Right. Yes. So Angela and Peter's dad is a closeted gay man. There's forced gender bending, which is abuse rather than queer, but people will see it as such.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of the scantily clad people in the film are men, with all those very short shorts that leave little to the imagination, while there is little skin shown off in the feminine variety.
I mean, there's an entire scene with, like, boy ass.
So much boy ass. And then mm-hmm. it's also, like, you just straight up, like, the scene where Angela is, like, refusing to eat, and it brings in this, like, kindly, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, the guy who's a camp counselor, that's the word
I'm looking for.
But it's, like, just how the camera's aimed, it's just, like, eyes, crotch, short shorts. Like, it's just, like, there
like,
is, like,
bulge is, like, center frame. Like.
Exactly. I'm like, wow, okay. So this brings up an excellent point. And, like, mm-hmm. I'm just presenting this as, like, research that I've found. I'm not necessarily agreeing or disagreeing. I'm just presenting at this point.
This is the academic dialogue.
This is the dialogue.
And there's a lot of, like, hyper masculinity in the movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, with all the crop tops, short shorts, and then like the boy like dog piles. Like
I definitely
like all the boys skinny dipping together. Like the girls don't want to come.
We're all comfortable with each other, bro. We're all comfortable.
So like they all just go together.
I also want to emphasize that this is the 80s, and like so like what was considered like masculine, like I can't really speak to with any degree of like certainty, because like
it's true.
I wasn't a man in the 80s, so
not like that, you're pretty far removed from the 80s compared to us two, so
so anyway, Collins argues that Angela is a transgender girl, noting that in the film sequels Angela continues to present as a woman who uses feminine pronouns. So, quote, despite Aunt Martha being insane, she just happened to stumble upon a person who was already a girl, and it and was an accident that her brainwashing happened to work, unquote.
Oh, how convenient.
How convenient.
How convenient.
So this, excuse me, Jesus. So this was completely contrasted in the person I'm going to speak to later.
Okay.
Which will, it all ties together into what I'm going to say at the end. But I would argue that the sequels retcon the first movie.
I haven't seen any of the sequels.
You know, it's funny. When you said, you're like, oh, yeah, let's go watch Sleepaway Camp. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen that movie. I was thinking of the second one.
Oh, shit. Oh. Okay. Interesting.
So, in the second one, it's like, Angela is still very much Angela. Mm-hmm. Like, she, like, she's like, yeah, she's like, I'm Angela.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay, okay. So, so we're going to have to cover Sleepaway Camp 2 at some point.
Yeah, I actually liked it. It's definitely, like, cheesier, if that's somehow possible.
By the way, also one of Chris Jericho's favorite horror movies.
Oh.
Yep. Yep.
Why did you have to do that to
break
me?
The walls down! Yep, that's right. Walls of Jericho, huh? Walls of Jericho.
Boo!
Lion Salt.
What interviewer, like, asked him, what's Dead your meat. Favorite?
Dead Meat.
Dead Meat asked him
James
that.
A. Janisse, he had him on for a whole segment, buddy. Wow. Yep.
Oh, my.
Yep. I'll link the video later. How about that?
That is, like, obscure, like, deep technology.
She knows that I love Jericho, so.
And he knows I hate him!
Yeah.
What?
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Oh,
Y2J.
Man.
No.
We
the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
We grew up fuck in you. The era.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Who gives a shit? I, like, listen. Okay. Like, Shawn Michaels is, like, I am a diehard Shawn Michaels fan. Like, Heartbreak Kid, like, mm-hmm. I'm just a sexy boy, sexy boy.
Alright, so we get too into it every time we mention
every
this.
Every time. You brought him up! You sorry. Opened
I didn't know
the
we
door.
Would get this far again.
You did it! You literally started it!
It's all connected.
Like. Oh, we gotta keep going. We're gonna...
See, this is every week, this is what happens. I just yell at Anthony.
What you have to put up with.
No, it's what I have to put up with, and then I just yell at Anthony.
Yeah, I'm just like...
The neighbors are like, they fight every Thursday.
True.
My poor neighbor, she's so sweet, but like I'm sure she's just like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh my god, during Dust Till Dawn episode, you probably lost it.
Oh yeah, during that one, we're just all screaming at each other.
Oh, great.
Anyway... Back to this.
Yes.
Please.
My theory corner, not yes. wrestling segment.
Keep going.
Motherfucker. Anyway. In the transgender defense of Angela Baker and Sleepaway Camp, which I love. It's on a Medium.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice.
Okay.
Author Harmony Colangelo said, quote, the framing of Sleepaway Camp presents Angela as the villain, but she is no more of a villain than Frankenstein's monster. Angela didn't want to be a monster. She was turned into one by everyone and everything around her. From where I sit, she is the unseen anti-hero, doling out cathartic trans justice.
Oh, shit.
She is cursed with a duality because there is no good way to view her as a positive character because she isn't doing good things. At best, there are explanations for why she does what she does, but it will always be a complicated subject. You can blame the bullies and Aunt Martha as the root of Angela's actions, but at the end of the day, she was failed by the system, unquote.
I like the Frankensteinian angle. That's
I actually really like that interpretation.
I like that interpretation a lot as well.
That's nice. Okay. That kind of puts the whole movie in a different context now that I'm looking at it.
Because she comes into the camp and she doesn't antagonize anybody.
No,
everyone,
no.
Yeah, but she
everyone
gets terrorized.
Around her, mm-hmm. Yeah,
is, yeah, she gets absolutely terrorized
exactly.
by all the people around her.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man. So it's like reacting instead of like acting.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So actually, I don't think it made it into the section, but what I wanted to say that I had touched on earlier is Angela as a character is, it's actually in, I want to say, it's in the Transgender Defense of Angela Baker and Sleepaway Camp.
Mm-hmm.
The author, Harmony, talks about how the other two films, Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3, kind of retcon what happens in Sleepaway Camp 1. Because there's this whole argument about, like, is Angela actually a trans character?
Mm-hmm.
Or is she just, like, a character who's been basically horrifically abused?
And, yes.
Like, what does that right. mean for transgender representation in film? And, like, what is, in horror film specifically, and what does that mean? And, like, that is a nuanced conversation that I am not qualified to chime in on.
I feel like there's a lot. Once you come from that perspective, it's like, holy shit, there's a lot of trauma there that you kind of
yeah,
have to decipher.
Yeah. Exactly. And, yeah. and I think that Harmony kind of, she put it in a pretty good way, where it, just talking about how, like, if you look at just the first one.
Yes.
No. If you look at the other two, yes. But the other two kind of make this job of, like, retconning what happens in the first.
Right.
Mm. So it's very interesting. It depends on how you look at it.
Yeah. And also the A's are like, holy shit, did we, like, provide a message there? Let's refine this. Oh, shit. Maybe we did pretty bad.
Right. So, on the other side of, like, these two critics who kind of idolize Sleepaway Camp, you have film critic Willow McClay in an essay about Sleepaway Camp for the magazine Clio, who characterizes the film's ending as both a unique element that sets it apart from other slasher films of the era and, quote, as deeply transmisogynistic, unquote. McClay criticized the film for its, quote, equation of mental instability with having grown up in a gender role not concurrent with your identity. Nearly every single transgender person grows up being raised in a gender role that does not fit. That doesn't mean that they are mentally ill or seriously violent, unquote.
I see.
So basically, I can see what she's trying to say here. We're basically because Angela was, like, meant to be a boy or however you want to look at it, and being raised as a girl, like, it's the same thing as, like, a trans person. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, a trans woman. Like, being raised as a boy even though she...
Internally wants, in their like, identity, and, it's like, not
mentally,
that.
It's a girl.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And how, like, being raised as such, like, doesn't make you violent.
Yeah, well, I mean, that makes total sense. Also, I imagine because it's in the 80s, there's not a lot of
No, there's not a lot of nuance for that.
But yeah, that's what makes this movie so interesting, too, is because you can come with all these different, like, from all these different angles.
Well, yeah.
And that's actually my next point. So, here's the thing. I will show you, you show me 10 different trans people, and I will show you 10 different takes on this movie.
Yes.
Like, there isn't a uniform collective of trans people who speak for every transgender person ever. And that's where nuance comes in for this particular subject matter. Yes. Where it's just, like, you can have, like, I know tons of trans people who love this movie. And and say that it was, like, it was, like, an awakening for them, even.
Yes.
And then I also know a ton of trans people who fucking hate this movie and think it was super harmful. So it's
harmful
just, like,
is the verbiage I was looking for in there. Yeah,
and so it's just, like, it just depends on what you took from it. And
right.
and it's interesting because in my major, we spent a lot of time looking at how movies, like, affected, like the ripple effect that they had on society at large.
Yeah.
And I think this one in particular, it's really hard to tell.
it definitely is, because I feel like it's of its time at the same time. Like, it is also a pretty fundamental 80s slasher, and it's one that's kind of done pretty well.
Well, it's also, like, one, like, I don't know anything about this director, and I wrote this episode.
Like, this is the only movie, if I remember correctly.
The only other movie he did was another sequel in, like, 2000?
Yeah, so much later
on. Oh,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So he's really only ever been in the Sleepaway Camp universe, so to speak.
And he kind of got pigeonholed into it, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
And so I'm just like, why was this the only story you felt you needed to tell?
Well, I think also, I can't speak to his career path, but I also feel like because of the nature of this movie, I can't imagine he got a lot of job offers after that.
Right.
Like, that might be a tougher sell for a lot of people. And it's like, well, because a lot of people in entertainment, they get known for one thing and they can't get their other stuff out there. So what pays the bills?
Yeah,
another
absolutely.
Take on the thing they're known for that was profitable. So, I mean, it's hard to say. I can't speak to the director. And obviously there was a lot going on in the 80s too around this time that would put a lot of heat on the movement that, you know, it was, you talked about with our Mark Patton episode.
I was going to say, you mean the AIDS crisis?
The AIDS crisis, exactly. Which obviously creates a lot of antagonistic behavior or around any kind of representation that isn't just the straight male version of, like,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's, and also, like, I don't know if the director is a straight man. Or not. I don't know for sure.
He accidentally stumbled upon to, like, a profound conversation.
Well, I don't know.
Right.
Like,
I mean, that's the thing, is, like, whether by accident or not, the director introduced, like, a very interesting discussion.
It did. To the whole genre.
Yeah.
And that's what I find sort of respectable about the movie.
Yeah.
In some weird way, is that it takes a lot of the tropes that existed at that time.
Definitely.
And totally, like, either flips them on their head or introduces something totally new or unexpected.
Unexpected, definitely.
And that in itself just, like, kind of shakes up that genre.
Yeah.
And sets, like, a precedent for other movies to spring from, you know,
and
different points of view.
Exactly. And if they refuse to do so, which a lot of movies don't quite take the ball and run with it, it makes it stand out even more.
Exactly.
Because it's so definitive in, like, it's not really definitive, actually, but it's so pronounced in the way that it puts its messages out there.
It's very unique. And
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like
it. No, I agree. Me neither. Me neither.
Both for good and bad.
Well, I mean, if you, like, okay, I just Googled this just for the sake of conversation. But if you Google transgender horror movies, Sleepaway Camp is the second option. The other one is Let the Right One In.
Oh, okay.
Which is also
we covered that one.
Which right, but also it's more that's like more like trauma based because it's mm-hmm. like technically honest. Yeah, it's like this whole L is like anyway.
Yes.
Based on the history.
Listen anyway, to our episode on that one.
Listen to our episode on that. And then the other one is the Silence of the Lambs, which is not great.
Yeah.
And then the other one is Psycho.
Wow.
Okay.
All these, like, important films that are like, listen, but not great takes.
Not great takes. Not great takes, and also, like, but really, like, creating these, like, kind of stereotypes.
Reinforcing ones that, yeah, definitely exist. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if we want to bring, like, the current political climate into it, like, right now there's this whole thing about trans people being groomers.
Groomers, that's the shit that pisses me off.
That's, like, the
so
current
much.
Colloquialism. It's just, like, queer people and trans people are groomers.
Well,
like,
by the default of existing, Alex, are you kidding me? They have to acknowledge reality? Oh, my God.
Or wanting to make sure, you know, like, young queer and trans kids don't kill themselves. It's like, you're a groomer.
Like, hold on a second. You're a positive pedophile. Reinforcing this?
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. So it's like those kinds of like negative stereotypes that are perpetuated in these movies, especially ones that are so critically recognized, can kind of bite us in the ass later when it's just like, see, Buffalo Bill was a freak, and therefore there's a groomer. Like, you know, like.
And that's popular media. That's real.
Yeah, that's correct and accurate.
That's real, buddies. Everybody, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all psychos. So,
anyway, that's my theory corner. This is a nuanced conversation that I could talk about forever, but I'm not going to bore everyone to death with it. And
I enjoy the takes. I really do. Yes,
there's so many layers, and that's kind of why I am so interested in this movie.
That's the thing, is like, there's so many layers, and there's a lot of nuance, and there's a lot of conversations that could be had about it that, like, I'm like, I'm not necessarily authorized or qualified to have those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still fun to think about, to tickle the brain.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Especially given the context of, again, there's a lot of targeting going on right now, which is very, very unfortunate because, I don't know if you know, we live in California, so we have a lot of diversity here. So we have a lot of options to interact with people.
We're in a bit of a bubble, especially in Southern California.
It's a bubble with a lot of different inputs, where other bubbles are all the same fucking people. Mm. Isn't that crazy? That's a different kind of bubble.
Yeah, there's two types, right?
Yeah. Ugh.
So,
terrible.
Anyway, that was my theory corner, and now we can talk about the movie itself.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
For a little bit. Man, Adrian, you lead the discussion, buddy. Let's fucking go.
Whoa. Oh, you're going to make him lead the discussion?
Yep. Let's do it.
I mean, to start the discussion, I just want to know your thoughts on the movie.
Thank you so much. Actually, since you're the first person, that guest always gets first dibs. So, Adrian, what are your thoughts on them? What are your thoughts on Sleepaway Camp from 1983?
Oh, man, it is one of the most bizarre fucking movies I've ever seen.
Okay, I'm gonna take over this for a split second. So, Adrian drove me back to my apartment after we watched it, and he was just like, the whole time, he was just like, what the fuck was that? Like,
I probably didn't shut up about it.
Not really, but it was.
Oh, I want to hear this.
It was so, like, I was just like, I was really exhausted, but I was just like, you're so into it. Like,
there's,
it's very endearing.
There's just so many elements working together in this movie that make it bizarre, entertaining, like, what the fuck? Like, and it's fantastic. Like, it's rare that you get a movie that hits all those, like, points.
Yeah. It's stimulating in a lot of ways that you're not expecting.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's not boring.
No, definitely not.
Exactly. So that's what makes it so interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. And it's an experience in itself.
And we got to watch on the projector.
Yeah, we saw on Anthony's projector.
Not that that really changed anything.
VHS quality.
VHS quality.
Pluto TV with commercials.
At, like, four, like, the ratio was like a 4:3.
Oh, my God, yes. Okay, yeah, yes. Why was it 4x3? It's just like...
Because that's the free version of it, Adrian.
Oh, did I actually guess the ratio correctly?
I think you did. 4x3?
Fuck yeah!
That's TV ratio right
there. I watch movies, bitch!
That's right. After early, 4 years!
Early A24 movie.
Right? I know, right? No, this is an artistic decision.
Totally, totally. The director had a vision.
Oh, that's great.
No. Your thoughts, or did you still have more thoughts?
No, I want to hear what you guys think.
Honestly, so I actually saw this. First time I saw this was during COVID. So,
really?
Yeah. I hadn't seen it before that. I watched it. It was early COVID. So it was at the point when I realized we're going to be in this bitch forever. like in my mind, I was like
in a dark.
It was like a couple space. Months where I'm just like, I guess I could just watch whatever the fuck I want.
Because this is never ending?
Because I've been doing this thing for months, and there's no positive outlook.
Oh, man, so that's rough. Like,
what kind of slashers are available in my 8-hour shift that I'm still getting paid for to pay my rent here? And Sleepaway Camp came up in a lot of conversations I was looking at. So I'm like, fuck, I've never seen it. I'm not looking too deep because I always like scroll past spoilers because I don't want to, like, you know, if at some point I'm going to watch these movies.
Yeah.
So if I hadn't seen it before, I just rush through. I'm like, I'm rushing through this one a lot based on this Reddit thread. Let me just watch the movie. And I slapped it on. It was VHS quality. It was the whole fucking thing. And it was during work. But I did not get a lot of work because I kept being like, what the hell is... Like, there's a style here.
Yeah, it grips you. Like,
it does. Yeah. It does. And its absurdity in its acting choices, which are really dynamic. They're all over the place. But in a way that... It's a little cohesive. Like, it's a little bit. Like, it all kind of comes together in one movie. It's really nice. And it's a clean 90 minutes. It was such a fun watch. Again, I don't mind that the ads didn't get out in time. I don't mind, like, all the works. In the middle of quarantine, I was like, fuck, not only did I watch this movie, but I, like, went back to the threads and I'm just like, okay, what conversations did I miss going on here? Because there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
I think it is a fun, not scary... But its cheapness elevates the movie in a way that I think slashers often aim for and don't always
nail.
The
end didn't unsettle you?
No, it didn't. It really didn't.
It creeps me out.
That's where, I was totally freaked out by that.
Honestly?
It goes from it goes straight to 11, just out of nowhere.
But I thought that was so cool. I thought it was like, I was like, holy shit. Because I've seen so many slashers, you know?
I'm not saying it's scary because it's a slasher. I'm saying just, like, having to, like, see, like, just someone make a face that's not a normal face. Like, I thought
it was oh fuck. I had an oh fuck moment.
I have
sure.
a weird thing about faces, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of just, like, don't like seeing people make, like, distorted faces.
Yeah.
It kind of creeps me out. And then, like, just the weird, like...
Yes, that's the part that creeps me out.
See, I thought it was so well...
The growling, like, it's very, like, she's very, like, feral in that moment.
Feral.
Like,
Feral's a good summation.
The clothes
right
are
there.
Gone, like, Angela's hair is, like, sort of disheveled.
Yeah.
But you gotta remember, I've seen slashers since I had memories.
She's, like, standing like this.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
Yeah, since I've known movies, I've known horror.
Yeah.
And it was so distinctive. There was something about it that I was like, fuck, this is actually... Kind of a unique, awesome watch. It was an awesome watch. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those ones that if you haven't seen the movie before, I will gladly sit with you and slap the movie on and watch just to see how it goes. So that's why I was like glad that we were covering it for Summer Camp Horror because I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. We're going
to
talk about
it. I'm kind of glad we saw it as a group, too.
Right? It elevates it. It totally does. Yeah, there's something to this movie as a communal experience. Again, there's a lot to unpack for, but I think it's just...
The whole night, like, we're, like, getting sloshed at Davy Wayne's, which was a delight,
God,
by the way.
That was so great.
Holy shit.
Dude, Davy Wayne's is the shit. And it kind of helped the vibe going into it.
It did?
It really did.
But also, like, I don't think I've been that drunk in public ever.
Oh, really?
Well, okay.
You were so composed.
Keep in mind, well, yes, true. But keep in mind, like... I don't like getting drunk in public. Like, I don't like drinking in public.
But you were amongst bros.
Exactly. I felt so comfortable. I was like, fuck it. And that whole time, I was like giggling. I don't remember half the shit I said to you.
We were screaming at each other, and I don't know what the topic.
You two totally were, because I was just chill with my fucking old-fashioned, like, oh my God, I'm having a great fucking summer.
Like, I don't want to say I was, like, completely hammered, but I was pretty drunk. Like, I was, like, pretty drunk. And the whole time, you were just like, So we're going back to watch Sleepaway Camp, right? Like, we're definitely going to go back to watch
Sleepaway Camp. Oh my God, because Phil was about it.
No, but like, we just kept being like, so we're going to go back and watch Sleepaway Camp, right? Like, you're going to, like, you just kept like emphasizing, like, you're like, you guys are down, right? You guys are down. Like, and we were just like,
I was so happy.
Yes, Anthony, we're going to go watch Sleepaway Camp.
I may have been a little turned also.
And then we had to go on like a whole adventure for Claus.
Oh my God. It was only two stops.
It was an adventure for Claus.
We did go to the most hoodie liquor store, though. It was pretty hoodie.
What was it? Oh my, it was on
S&M.
S&M Liquor on Johnson Street.
S&M Liquor
on Johnson Street.
I cracked so many jokes.
Oh my God. And I went in there with Phil.
You were just like, protect me.
I'm like, we need two of us because if we, even the
anything 10 anything could happen at this place.
Yeah, the 10-foot walk to the car, we're like, okay, cool, that is a shank.
Oh man. I think Savannah got me M&Ms and I forgot that I put them in my bag. Like, I ate a bunch of them.
Oh.
I put them in my bag. Like, I just like twisted them up and put them in my bag. I forgot that they were there until Monday. Like, I opened my bag and I was just like, oh shit, M&Ms. Like, it was like, such a pleasant surprise. I was like, oh sweet. Oh fuck my God. Yeah.
I love her voice right now. Yeah. That was the enthusiasm of somebody who's like,
definitely
oh,
went
chocolate.
Up,
like,
I was so surprised because I was looking for my dice and I was like, oh shit, cool.
Were they peanut M&Ms though?
They were regular M&Ms.
Oh my God.
Basic ass. I don't know about the excitement there.
I don't know. Oh my God. I don't like having obstacles for my chocolate. Thank
oh,
you.
Okay, there you go. Okay, I like it. That's on her fucking Hinge profile right there.
No, I will tell you what is on my Hinge profile later.
Okay.
Very funny and deeply inappropriate.
Is it the bi quote? No, that's just Twitter.
That's my Twitter bio.
Oh my gosh. All right. So what are your thoughts, Alex?
Yeah,
so
tell us.
It's fine. It's fine. I like it.
You like it,
it's
right?
Fine. See, I have a much more like hearty experience with this movie.
Hearty.
Hearty, yeah, mm-hmm. Because remember. Gender and sexuality studies major.
That's right.
So I've been familiar with this movie for a while, and my ex was very fond of it.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense. I know your ex. I'm like, this is right up the alley.
Yeah. So I've seen it quite a few times. I was super super happy to like see it with people I actually like.
That's good. A bunch removed, so we're good. Yes.
Yeah, well, no. I was just it was really fun seeing it with a group. I agree with Adrian. I think seeing it with like a group of people made it fun. I did rewatch it last night because I was falling asleep. It is a cool 90 minutes, but there are even some like dips where I'm just like,
oh my God. The video mentioned the baseball scene.
Yeah.
Which goes on for like
forever.
I don't know how many plays we see, but
I definitely slept through that entire thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, Baylor remembered. So yeah, you're probably right. I was probably just like, okay, cool. Let's go. Let's continue. Keep going the movie. Yeah.
So, I like it. Like, I definitely, it's fun to pick apart. It's fun to talk about. It's not one of my like go-to like, yeah, watch this movie if you like horror. Like, I don't know.
That's true. It's hard to recommend, but for people who are into the genre and want to see what's out there.
If someone's like a diehard slasher fan, if they haven't seen this already because it's such like a cult classic, then of course I'm going to like be like, you haven't seen Sleepaway Camp? Do yourself a favor and watch it. Because I think I told you to watch it.
Probably. That was probably one of the factors motivating my watching
it. I think I might have mentioned it to you at some point. But yeah, it's like
it has a reputation.
It has a reputation. Watching someone get raped to death with a curling iron.
God, yeah.
In this movie, which
I forgot about that. Yeah,
you forgot.
the visual aspect of it. I knew it
you
happened.
You forgot.
Yes.
For me, it's seared into my brain forever.
Brain, yes.
Because that is one of those things where I'm just like, that sound like it's like when you guys see anything bad happen to like dicks in movies and you're just like,
oh no,
that sounds awful.
I winced at the memories.
Yeah, you winced. Mm-hmm. I winced
also
a lot.
You say seared and like I swear to God, there's like sizzling sounds what? In okay. that scene.
Yes.
I rewatched it and I was like, wait a second.
She's getting raped.
Am I hearing
to death
that right?
With a curling iron.
Yeah.
See? A 1980s little clippy cloppy curling iron.
After she's the like kind... punched out cold, too.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God. That Ugh. Is, that's such a bad way to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like, oh my God. That's gotta, oh my God.
But you know what? It was a cool shot, like the shadow of her hands on the wall.
Oh my.
Yeah. Like... such a cool way to go. Yeah. Yeah. Spoiler alert. That's my kill of the film.
I was about to transition to kill of the film.
Cause like it's that one and the fucking perv with the soup.
Yes, that is my kill.
Those are the tough ones.
That one was just like
kind well, of effects though.
Kind of it was the effects are awesome, but it was just like kind of like grotesque and it lingering. Was.
But he like deserved it too.
He
because
so did
that intro. He's like dressed, watching the kids run off the buses.
Dead
oh,
meat.
Look at his lips and shit. Just fucking
yeah.
Yeah, dead meat. Brought up a great point. He's wheeled away off screen alive.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
he's not dead.
He doesn't die.
Oh, that's you a good imagine. Point. Okay, curling iron.
he's
not dead.
It's argued that he doesn't die.
That's true.
Although I might argue that he definitely succumbs to his injuries at
he
a hospital.
He has to. It's so gruesome.
It's also just like a huge vat of soup.
The doctor afterwards is like, oh, the pain must be unimaginable.
Mm-hmm. He's dead later. Like an angel of mercy is just like, shh.
And then the camp owner is like, can we speed this up already? Like,
can we get the...
Get him the fuck out of here.
Get him the fuck out of here.
With this Italian ass accent, like smoking a cigar.
What you like, see it or something? Let's fucking go. Okay, I think we got time for like one more, right?
Let's wrap this shit up.
Okay, You know, I was gonna go the fun one, I didn't make it that fun though. So
no, pick one. Anthony.
There's one question that I'm actually very interested in that it relates to this season here. This is yet another 1983 movie. Why is 1983 such a good year for awesome shit? Why? I don't understand. Explain to me why 1983 is cool.
Why 1983 is cool?
Yes. Or what are they, give your thoughts on why are we... How is this
I'm
so
I'm a diehard 80s fan.
Yes.
So anything that happens in the 80s, I'm just like endorsed. Fuck yes.
You know what? It's the fucking blow, dude.
There you go. Oh, that was a good
this
one,
is
Adrian.
It's like the beginning of people just like experiencing that.
Yes, agreed. I mean,
I don't know
we
what
got
the
Cujo.
Fuck it did to them.
We got Christine. We got Sleepaway Camp. We got the Dead Zone.
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi.
I'm just looking at horror films right
Scarface,
now.
Scarface, 1983.
Yes. Okay,
right?
There you go. Add to my point.
Add to the blow point.
The
War
blow
Games.
Point.
Oh.
Risky Business. We got Tom Cruise actually starting his career here.
We got Twilight Zone, the movie, which is bad, but, you know, I liked it.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
I learned its tragic backstory.
Oh.
Horrifying
oh,
backstory.
No.
Which, again, oh my God, I can't believe you can see child death on YouTube because of this shit.
Yeah.
Anyways.
We also talked about that before we went out and got drunk in public.
That's right.
This is what we converse about in public. Like, people... Yeah.
Good.
Pretty dark entertainment, yes.
Good.
I mean, we also got, like, fucking National Lampoon's Vacation, which is, like, the National
right.
Lampoon movie.
Going berserk.
Man.
But, I mean, that's
Trading
just the era
places.
Where, like, so many classics were, like, cranked out, like,
yeah.
one after the other.
Very few actual sequels and, like, franchise stuff, too. This is people having original ideas,
mm-hmm.
putting them with, like, big-ass budget
oh.
and part of the docket. Like, for film and entertainment. Like, this is a very cultural touchstone year, I think. So, yeah, 1983. I would say so. Thriller.
Cheech
Thriller
and Chong.
Came out.
Still spoken.
The second Cheech and Chong movie. Oh, amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. Oh, I wish they did a horror movie so we can cover it.
I mean, I think the closest we got was From Dusk Till Dawn.
I know, that's true. Oh, we totally got it there. That's right, fucking Cheech Marin.
Yeah, Superman 3.
Oh, that's
oh,
good old
go.
Richard Pryor. That's right. Richard Pryor. Wait, when did Eddie Murphy's Raw come out? That's what I wanted to know.
Let me guess, the 80s?
Octopussy.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Blue Thunder. I'm looking at action movies now. This is insane.
It is. Wait, one of the Rockies. Was it Rocky 3?
I don't know.
Come on, give me Rocky 3.
I'm not going to give you the gratification.
Oh, is Eddie Murphy's Delirious. One of the most important stand-up comedy specials ever, despite it being incredibly dated. Incredibly dated.
I was going to say, sounds a little... Flashdance came out in 1983?
Okay, see? Look, wow. Look at the enthusiasm. Okay, look now at the enthusiasm. She's excited. I know, look at that. Yeah, look at how that came out.
Because it's Flashdance. Because it's fucking Flashdance, dude.
Oh, that's good. That's
hello.
Good. Yeah.
But yeah, so, that just seems like a great moment in time where like all this entertainment was coming.
Yeah, I feel like a very important one, surprisingly.
Yeah.
And it was 1983, man. Again, yeah. Again.
Jaws 3, though.
Okay, way to ruin the entire deck. Like
that. All right, that negates everything.
Everything.
Jaws 3. Ugh. That's pretty bad.
All right, well, I mean.
So you asked why 1983 was such a good year for movies.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have an answer because I wasn't alive then, so now I'm good.
Makes sense. Well, Adrian, do you want to kick us off with the last question there? What would you...
How about you rate this movie out of 5 huge boiling vats of soup?
Oh my god, out of 5 huge boiling vats, Alex, what do you say?
You guys need to go first, because okay. I'm going to be mean. I'm going to say something mean.
I'm going to go, actually, I'm going to say 3.5. It's 3.5 movie for me, because I was so fucking entertained.
Okay, maybe not that mean.
I was so entertained, despite it being very problematic in a lot of ways.
What do you mean? It's problematic?
I think a
lot... I didn't have a whole section dedicated to why it's problematic. What do you mean?
I think a lot of these elements end up working in its favor, because there's not a movie like it. There really isn't. It's such a unique watch, but it is also not brilliant. It really isn't. But it is a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah.
And I think it's better than the average. It's more than half. Not quite to the cusp of like other movies you put up for. 3.5. Solid 3.5 for me.
You know what? I feel exactly the same way.
Oh, yeah.
It has some interesting kills. Which alone, like, earns it a lot of points, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree.
There's so many slasher movies out there with boring kills that, you know, you lose
this
your
interest.
This
movie has some boring kills, though.
I mean, but we did come off of Halloween Resurrection right before this, and that has the most boring kills.
Even the camp owner who gets, like, shot with an arrow through his
That's throat. A great kill. I'm talking about all the kids who get, like, murked in their sleeping bags.
That's true. Okay. That was a bizarre one.
There's a lot of kills, I would say, but the ones that get focused elevate the movie a lot.
Yeah. Sure. So there's some creative kills. There's really, like... fun dialogue, like the
delivery too.
Yeah, the way the kids like it is actually very naturalistic, even though Aunt Martha is fucking on her own planet.
She's, she's on a different plane.
Yeah.
She definitely is.
But like the kids, their acting is very natural. Like it does seem like a group of kids. Like
yes.
You know, they're cussing out at each other and like pulling pranks on each other.
He shouldn't die.
Oh my god, fucking Mozart. Do you remember Mozart? He's the kid that puts his nose in the kid's ass.
Yes!
But he pulls a knife on the other kids, like...
Yeah!
The movie's just insane.
I like that his name's Mozart.
I know,
right?
Yeah.
But
like your parents had very high expectations of you.
It's a weird parlay between authenticity and insanity.
Yeah.
Yes!
And that's what I love, is that it just, like, you know, switches on a dime, like...
Yes!
And you're like, now we're going this way. Oh, what the fuck now?
Okay. Very rapid pivots.
Exactly. And that makes it an entertaining watch, in my opinion.
Think about its problematic nature also makes it funner to watch.
So you agree, 3.5?
3.5.
Ms. Webster, what'd you say?
Solid 3.
Solid 3 is still good. That's still good.
Solid 3. Yeah.
Solid 3.
It's a fun watch. I definitely think watching it with, like, friends makes it more enjoyable. Yes. Watching it with your shitty ex is not.
Yes, exactly. Alex has 2 experiences here.
Yeah. So I mean, it was much more enjoyable this time around. I also think now that I'm a little bit older, a little bit wiser, I'm able to think about it a little bit more critically, because I think when I first watched it, I was like, this is really fucked up. And I was just, like, harping on everything. I was like, this is really fucked up. This isn't a good movie.
But you have some slasher language now.
Yeah. Yes. I have some context. I have some taste. I have I've calmed the fuck down.
There you go.
Since when I was 22?
Yeah, that early 20s energy. It could be a little destructive sometimes.
It's destructive and aggressive.
Yes.
I was really angry when I was in my early 20s. So now that I'm going into my late 20s,
yeah,
I'm like,
go.
I don't have time for that or the energy.
Maybe relax a little bit. All right, let's go.
Maybe it's time to relax a little bit. But no, yeah, I'd say a solid 3. Definitely not without its criticisms, but definitely not without its praises as well. Yeah. So I will say 3.
I like it. All right. Yay!
Yay! Well, that concludes this week. That was Sleepaway Camp from 1983.
Woohoo!
Next week.
Oh, next week. You guys have been waiting since season 3 or 2. Early on. Late season 2, I think.
I think it was season 3.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, we covered this franchise only on a very special time when it is available. Because it's on a very particular day.
Oh, what could it be? What could it be?
Look at your calendar and you'll find out. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, so join us next week for that. Thank you so much, everyone, for
listening.
Lots of
titties. Lots of titties in this one.
Tits! Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you like what you heard, please, please, please subscribe and leave us a review on Spotify and iTunes. If you have an iTunes account, you can write us a review. That would help other people find the podcast as well, and that would mean the absolute world to us.
I just got an iPhone, so I totally did that.
But yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did. I was finally able to do it. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, 5 stars. I know these guys.
Finally. Oh, my gosh. And then if you want to stay up to date on... Oh, wait, actually, before that even, if you feel like we deserve a couple bucks for what we do here at the podcast, we do have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/horrorpeoplepod. We do have tiers as low as $5 a month, so you can check us out there. And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and you can find us on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast.
So good at that.
Yes, I've been saying it every week for the last 4 years. That's true. I shake my fist at you, good sir.
Yeah, very aggressively.
And then if you want to stay up to date with Anthony, you can find him on Instagram and Twitter at Hyrulean Hustler. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. At this point on Twitter, I'm probably still talking a lot about Taika Waititi.
Sure, the thirst levels are high.
Always. Mm-hmm. Always. Always. The thirst levels are always high. And then, is there anything you would like to promote, talk about, discuss, any shout-outs?
I actually do have one thing to say.
Please.
Yes, go for it.
Anthony's a fucking liar.
Oh, yes.
I loved your next, dude.
Yes.
I accidentally ruined Adrian's reputation on that one. Oh, my God. I thought he
hated
it. Thank
you for remembering
that. I did. I remember our friend Gene. So I'm going to ruin Gene's reputation. It was a good movie, Gene, if you're listening to this episode.
Oh, my God. We recorded that episode and immediately went to go hang out with Adrian.
That's true. It was like immediately afterwards, yeah.
It was immediately after. And we were like, hey, so I found out. Or like, I was like particularly.
Alex is like, hey, fuckhead.
Yeah, I was particularly chapped about the whole thing. I was just like, I heard you didn't like your next, dude. And you were like, I loved your next. And I was like, fuck you, Anthony, you liar.
And Anthony must have said it so confidently.
He did.
Like, oh.
He did. I think I sent you the clip. Yeah. I edited the episode and the clip and I was like, here's the clip of like Anthony.
This piece of shit.
I was like, here's the clip of Anthony defaming your name.
Oh, I did. I totally did. Oh, I'm sorry, God. Sanchez. I'm so, on air, I'm very, very sorry. You know, this is another person. It's a pretty good movie.
Anyway.
But I'm glad we settled this.
It's now settled. Yeah. It's now settled. That's right.
Thank you so much for coming back on the podcast.
Great job, man. Hell yeah.
Yeah, this was so much fun.
Thank you for having me.
And you may or may not see him in the future or hear him in the future on another episode.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see.
Maybe, question mark.
Start writing those letters.
There you go.
Yeah, so we may or may not see you again very soon. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And if you get invited to camp, ask yourself why, and maybe just don't date anyone while you're there.
And also remember to eat shit and live.
Eat shit and live. Bye, guys.
Peace.